haven't till the loss all over the land
to see the news all over the land and sea. Tell it afar, tell it afar.
Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. Amen, amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good. He is good. Do you love God? Sing it with me. I really love the Lord. Do you love him? Well, I really love the Lord. Yes. And you don't know. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Well, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and you don't
know what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, see. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Yes, and you don't know what he's. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love. Yes. Oh, you sound good. You sound like you want to sing it again. And you don't know what
he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave. God is good. Yes, and that's why I
love.
Thank you, Lord.
I love
him. I really love the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. If you're visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be here. God is good. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope we can say something that will touch your heart, that will prick your heart, make you think this morning. Hopefully it'll make you want to draw closer to God. If you have a question, you need to talk to somebody, you need somebody to pray with you, we will be more than happy to do that. You call the number on your screen and we'll love to talk to you. More than that, we'd love to see you in this place. It's one thing to watch us on television. We look different in person. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. That's why the Bible talks about us coming together. We know sometimes providentially you're hindered and you're not able to gather together, but there is much value in gathering with the saints. Amen, somebody? Yes, God is good. We just rejoiced, and we had a wonderful time last week in our Making Disciples, Making a Difference conference. Thank you, church, for supporting the conference. The brothers just fed us with some spiritual food and uplifted us and taught us, and hopefully we all are becoming better disciples, and maybe there's someone that's been contemplating and wants to be a disciple. because it is God's commission, first of all, to the apostles, to all of the saints, for us to make this, to duplicate ourselves and to reconcile others back in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about. That's our primary purpose. Today, I want to, if you'll allow me, I want to begin a different series of lessons. I'm entitling Disciples Master Training Series. Disciples Master Training Series. And I know I don't want to alarm anyone or to discourage anyone to say, well, that might be over my head, because I hope it's not. I really do. Because when you go to the Army, you have your basic training. And we don't want to overwhelm anyone, but at the same time, all training should be headed toward master training, toward better. No needing, of a child. Even when we're training our kids, they're going to try out a sport. You try it out in light that you want to get better. You want to be good at it. And you not just go do something just to be doing it. And as we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we do want to be better, don't we? I mean, that ought to be our aspiration in anything that we indulge in. And it is what God wants us to grow in, the grace, favor with God, and knowledge of God, so we can continue to grow. And I want to use the lesson today to kind of set up the next lessons. And I can tell I'm getting older as a preacher, because I just say, I'm going to take my time. And I know I'd be anxious as a student and as a worshiper. Sometimes, preacher, hurry up and get to the point. We beat all around the bush. And I mean, tell me what you want to tell us. But some things you just can't rush. Some things you just cannot rush. And I want you to dive in with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. The brother so eloquently read in your hearing this morning. And some of the details I can give you more of than others, but we have to study this together. Can we see, a disciple is a what? A learner. And so you can't depend on a teacher to teach you everything. Can we work together? And we commit, first of all, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6. And so your homework, if you haven't already read it, is to read chapter 6, okay? That's where we're going to start, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're not in all of the chapter, but the Apostle Paul is the human-inspired author of the book of Ephesians. Most denominational, any scholar, biblical, theological scholar, almost 99% of them agreed to that. And Paul wrote four epistles. Epistle is a letter. He wrote four epistles while he was in prison in Rome. But Gary, how you know that? You have to study that on your own. I can't give you everything. For 2 years, he was in Rome for 2 years. How do you know that? Go to Acts chapter 28, verse 30. Acts 12. I'll confirm some of the statements that we make. We just don't have time. But this is master training, and I want us to get in the mindset. When we say something, when we are teaching something, we know where to find the background for it, and to confirm we can be credible in what we're teaching. We're just not coming up flying off the cuff. Amen. Acts chapter 28, verse 30. And he stayed 2 full years. In his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all openness, unhindered. He was in Roman prison, but Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Some people recognize it, some wanted him done away with. But he was still under the favor of God. God gave him favor while he was there that he could be in his court. Go up to verse 16, Acts 28:16. When we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. So he had some leeway. And And he used his time very wise. Paul was very focused. You know, one thing I'm learning as I get older, you know, we don't have a lot of time to waste. You know, when you're young, you just think you got all the time in the world. You just pitter-patter. I now understand why my dad used to come in and say, we be laying around. He said, get up. And he would say, sometimes he'd say, get up and do something. And I think he would think that we was just wasting time. And you know what? He was telling the truth. I thought a lot of the time I wish I could go back and get and bottle up for now. We can't do that now. But Paul, he wrote, he penned four epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, most likely while he was in prison there. And he's in Rome, and you got to know something about some of you students. You know, so you should in history, you should know something about the Romans. If not, very interesting study. And he got an up-close personal look at Romans, especially the Roman soldiers. And because they handled him quite a bit, and he'd see them closely, and he'd see what they had on, and all of their attire, and all of their gear, and all of their armory, and their swords, and the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit used his experience to share with us a word from God as he correlated the spiritual correlation between the Roman soldier and our spiritual life. See, the Romans were the cream of the crop as far as the army, as far as the might, the power. And they had fear in so many, the Roman soldiers. And so let's go back to our text, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and verse 20. I want to read the entire text. He read to verse 13. I want to read the entire text. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord. This is Paul talking. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because he's watching all these Roman soldiers. And to be a Roman soldier, you had to be in tip-top shape, trained by the best. Some of you may have seen the movie, The 300. Some of you saw that movie, 300, these trained men. And they had everything. Their armory was the same all the time when they went out to battle, same all the time. Paul looking at this, these strong men. But he says to the Christian, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of Israel. Let me read it all before I start elaborating. Put on the full armor of God, what he says, so that you will be able to stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins, notice this, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having showed the feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, which with by you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's through verse number 17. And so, Paul, and so in our study, We want to examine each piece, each element, and we hope to explain, to elaborate on why each element is essential for the disciple. It's absolutely essential. You need to have them all. All right, you ready to study? All right. All right. No, you're not. You're not ready yet. Now, I'm just teasing you. I know you're ready. I'm so humble. And as I was studying this, I recognized how unready I am. How lacking. How these pieces work together. And But we got to get our minds ready. I reread it, and you say, okay, I'm ready. You don't know why you need it. See, armor is needed. Armor, Christian armor, is absolutely necessary for the disciple. Notice, the world will eat us up without armor. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Everybody all right? Don't go to sleep now. We are afflicted. We, the church of God, the church of Christ, the saints, we know it's we. Go to the first part of the letter and tell you who the we is. And by the way, if you're not in the we right now, I know some individuals that are here have been with us, and they are seeking. And I love it that they are being diligent, that they want to make sure they do it, because, see, the Bible is for the disciples. It's to make disciples that they can make disciples. And the benefits, the blessings, the instruction is for the saints. And he goes on, he says, we are afflicted in every way. Now, notice, and so I want to say it. I don't want to say it too early, but see, you know, I sometimes we disillusion as Christians. Yeah, I've been there. We're Christians, and we want everything to just smooth out. And I pray all the time, Lord, just give me, let me have a good day today. Anybody ever? Lord, let me get by without this whole lot today so I can, you know. Boy, when you have one of those days, what should you say?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. The Bible says we are afflicted, notice this, in every way. And I don't want anybody to get depressed, but also we want everybody to open their eyes and understand why you need this armor. Notice, in every way. If you're single, are you afflicted? You don't have to amen loud. I mean, you know, yeah. So affliction comes in all kinds of forms. It comes in all kinds of forms. Sometimes it's just discouragement. Yeah, yeah. Some of us, we got a house full of children, and we don't know what loneliness is. But loneliness loneliness is tough. Listen, we're afflicted by, a lot of times affliction comes from our own household. It comes from, if you're a parent, you're afflicted. Affliction normally comes from an outside source. Normally comes from, but not all the time. If you're married, you're afflicted. When you get older, you're afflicted. And he says we're afflicted in every way. Then he goes on to say, and see, affliction can come covertly. It can come in secret. Do you realize that you can be afflicted as a Christian in the church? I don't know what's worse. What's worse, covert affliction or overt affliction? Secret, covert affliction catches you off guard, because you don't know what's going on until it's almost too late. Yeah, and so, saints, Christians, open your eyes. Yeah, open your eyes. Just because you smile and pay your bills all the time and pay and give money to the communion, you sing while the worship is going on. Sometimes folks just working against you. Sometimes they're in our family. Sometimes it's the government. Sometimes it's somebody on our job. If you're doing a good job on your job, you're being afflicted. Oh, no, brother, everybody love me. You need to show up, wake up. Yeah. When when you get a promotion on your job, you know, everybody not happy. I said, nobody not really going to purposely lie on you. Whew. I don't understand. Sometimes you're trying to do good, and your motives are just as pure as they can be, and some people come up with stuff like, where you get that from? You know? Yeah. You see it in every way. But not crushed. Thank you. Thank you. See, notice, huh? We're just trying to get ready. Because see, we're afflicted, but wait, but hold your head up. That's part, and everybody need to understand, affliction is part of life. Stop, don't lead a defeated life. People will try to afflict us. You better hold your head up and keep living for God. Paul says afflicted, but not crushed. You know, I'm not walking around, around crying all day long. Yes, perplexed. And sometimes you don't understand. I've gotten to the point now, I say, stop trying to read everybody's motives. Some people have problems you had nothing to do with. How they were raised, what people said to them. And them, another thing I found out, you can't help everybody. Amen. And you sure can't please everybody. But and see, Apostle Paul, he said, he's writing this to the church. He said, I want you to understand now, in this life, you're going to have affliction. You're not going to understand everything. Amen. I watch these commentators on television, the sports commentators, and they just be going on and on. Well, maybe he's doing and giving all these. I'm like, they don't know what's going on. The man, is playing. He might have had a toothache. He just didn't tell nobody. And trying to explain everything. Sometimes people just have bad days. Yeah, people just, going through something and they just don't want to tell you about it. Oh, have mercy. Stop trying to be a gypsy and read the crystal ball all the time. But not despairing. Yeah, despair is hopelessness. It's, I don't know why. Yeah, persecuted. We in this life. I don't like persecution, though. I'm going to just be honest. I don't like it. I don't like persecution. I don't know anybody that likes persecution. But Christians are persecuted. Christians are persecuted. I'm telling you something, this stuff gets you, this stuff can wear you out. Sometimes I wish I could go back. See, I wish the young people, and I hope this lesson is for all of us. You need to enjoy your youth. Well, and I know they don't understand all the time. But because you're young, when you're playing and having, you need to enjoy that as long as you can. Amen. Yeah, and sometimes it gets even tough on our young people. It says we are, because in this life, you'll be persecuted. Sometimes you're persecuted. Sometimes it's our own own doing, but many times it's not. Especially when you start making a stance on what you are trying to do right according to God's will. And this is the kind of persecution the Apostle Paul is alluding to here. He says, we're persecuted. He says this. He says, but not forsaken. But not forsaken. And there is a huge difference. He says, struck down, but not destroyed. And that's what he says about it. That's why armor is needed. That's why you got to have something to deal with. You understand? Do you know that the medical field, most of the medicine that is prescribed to teenagers and adults are for mental disorders, or stress disorders, or coping drugs, trying to get some people to make it from one day to the next. And I'm telling you, that's what you go to just try to cope. And Paul was saying, he said to the saints. Now you think, well, I got baptized in Jesus Christ. I know life is going to be better. Life is going to be better, but you are still in a broken world. We are living in a world that sin is all around us. And you need something to help you cope and make it in life the way God wants you to make it. And that's why That's why you see, if you don't have, if you don't know, if you ain't using what God has given us, this world will eat us up. Yeah, so is armor needed? Man, armor is needed. I had a picture of the Roman soldier, and also did he show the picture of the? Did you see of a American soldier? See, in our culture, if it was in my day, we were writing. See, we want you to be able to understand this. See, every piece is important. Yeah, that would be the American soldier, American armor. He has a helmet. He has a body piercing armor. He has the shoes on. He got a knife on somewhere. You can't see it, but I'm sure he does. And so I want you to be able to correlate. And don't think, you talking about Roman, that's that old stuff. No, that's new stuff right there. And that may not be all of it. That's just a picture. But what is the armor of God, Brother Gary? What is the armor of God? And see, if we're going to withstand the pressures, the challenges, the battles of life, we're going to have something to cope with. And we just read a few moments ago. And go back to verse number 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. No, the Bible does not say be weak in the Lord. And it says be strong in the Lord. And I know the Bible also says for the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. We understand that there will be weak ones in the church. Amen. Notice this. But don't pronounce I'll be the weak one. Who wants to volunteer to be the weak one? Nobody. Who wants to be weak? And so this is why this is master training. Get your mind ready to say, I want to be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, you play sports, you know. I mean, you play sports. Sports is a great teacher. I mean, team sports especially. And you understand what's going on. Like when you're young, you understand. You just think the coach trying to be hard on you. But see, they're trying to get you ready for the battle. For the game, you come to practice and say, well, that's all right. You don't have to run today. Oh, you say, no, I'm tired, coach. Okay, you go sit down. Is that what you want? That kind of preacher you want? You don't want somebody to just it's going to be all right all the time. So let's get strong so we can help the weak ones who are not here. Amen, somebody. But everybody in here right now, don't you want to be strong? Notice this. Oh, but girl, I'm not that strong. Don't you want to be stronger? And I wanted to go right to the first attire, but I said no, Gary, just stay right here right now, because see, we want everything to go well, but just tell me what to do. You need to know why you need this.
Amen.
We all need it. And see, there is a mindset that I can. First of all, God wants us to be strong.
Amen.
Now, if you're a man in here, let me start. If you're a young man in here, and you say, well, I want to be a successful in life, and I want to have me a family, boy, you better put in your mind, I need to be strong in the Lord. This world will eat your little lunch up.
Amen.
You really want a family? Notice this. When you get your family, you know what the Bible says about you? The husband is the head. You can't be a head of nothing without some. You know, you got to be strong when nobody else is strong. So Paul, he's looking at these soldiers, and he says to the saints, to the Christians, come on now. Be strong, notice, in the Lord. And we can say that in the power of his might. Yeah. I know sometimes we've been beat down, and we've been beat down so much, we just don't have any strength. Then he goes on to say, goes on to say, I'm doing this because I'm watching the clock. He says, put on. The New American Standard Translation say the full armor. King James, I believe, says the whole armor. The full armor. That's why, notice this, every piece is vital. I hope you commit. I know this is a good size. I hope you commit to say, you know what, I'm gonna take this training. I'm going to receive this training. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to study it. Because I want to be strong. The only way you are going to be strong in the Lord, stronger, is to put on the full. Notice this. First of all, it's not going to just drop on you. No. Most people involved in any, they like to see the end of the movie. They like to see the championships. They like to see the finals. They like to see the confetti and the balloons and the victory. But a whole lot go on before that. Whole lot. Yeah, and it says put on. See this, notice, God gonna do his part. He will. He will. We got to put it on. It's like somebody buying you a new suit, a new dress, a new outfit, and they lay it on the bed, and it's all laid out. They hang it on the closet. They get it dry. It's hanging right there, and you walk in the room and look at it, and it's already there. But you don't put it on. It look good. It looks like it'll look good on you. But you don't put it on. Everybody say, put it on. Let this marinate. Yeah. See, it's going to take some work. Oh, brother, I just came to church today I just want to get my church on today. I know a lot of people do. This is just a day. Ooh, man, I need some spirit. I need some, you know, you've been every day this week, 6 days, that man, all this stuff going on, boom, blah, 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 all that, you know. And man, I'm going to church. Ooh, how can you go to church? Amen. See, this one, going to church, not going to get it. Coming to church. And this your full time. You're right. This is my job to be a preacher. But see, listen, I preach on Sundays. I study. A whole lot of things going on. I need help Monday. I'm telling you, man, the devil is busy every day, isn't he? On his job. Every day. You know, when I come to church on Sundays now, it's difficult. I love to study, but with everything else, I love to study, but it's everything else that's going on. Amen. But I come here to thank God, glorify God, fill up the tank, fellowship with the saints, be encouraged. I know you're going to say, Brooke, yeah, how you doing? Good. You had a good day? Yeah, man, good day. Yeah. How your children? Good. Good. I love that. Because you don't get that in the world. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you don't get that. But this what we're doing now, is preparing us. It's helping us. It's going to help you to be. You're a good mama right now. It's going to help you to be a better mama. You're going to learn some things. It's going to shape you. It's going to shape the way you talk, the way you act, the way you respond, the way how you act when nobody else is around. But we got to put this on. We got to put it on. You know, would you go play a football game? How many of you remember? See, they have tennis shoes now. When you play basketball now, they got shoes now that you put on and you strap them, just swoop. They got all kind of cushion in the bottom, springs in the bottom. They got some good equipment. Now, see, well, in my day, we thought Chuck Taylors was. Isn't that right, fellas? Man, if you had a pair of Chuck Taylors, you know what the kids, they wear Chuck Taylors for fashion. They wear those, they match Chuck Taylors with their outfit. You would never see a basketball player playing today unless they just sewn up poor in some Chuck Taylors. They would get schooled mighty fast. And I'm simply saying, see, we going to work every day. We in our homes. We battling with I got to make a point. Because we need to put on, we battling with Chuck Taylors. Put on the full on. This is why some people say, I don't go to church every Sunday. I don't go to Bible class all the time. I got to understand. I understand what you're saying. See, the devil is competing for your time. If you're going to be a disciple and you're going to grow, you got to put some stuff on. There's no secret about it. We're going to pray for you and we're going to pray on you and we're going to even cry with you. But until you get to the point that you're going to do some of this for yourself. So that you'll be able to stand firm. Stand firm. See, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be afflicted. So notice, stand firm against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. Devil got some schemes. He got a bunch of them. Let me make this point, and I'm going to have to stop. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers. See, some of us that's married, we thinking, my husband is, he's crazy. some of this I do say sometimes to lighten up some. And I know but this serious business. My wife, I don't know what she said. I don't know how. And yes. See, because Satan will use anybody. And we make it. We personalize things to the point that I'm married to KB. KB, she's out of her mind. See, when we allow Satan. It's more than KB. See, our struggle, this is about it. This is sometimes we are naive. For our struggle is not just against a person. It is what the devil wants to destroy us. The devil wants us never to succeed. And you personalize it. I hate him. Yes, he is allowing the devil. It's more than just him. And see, we need to depersonalize some of it and say, you know what? This battle is not just about the person. It says, for evil you have spiritual wickedness in high places. That things that's going on behind the scene is trying to manipulate our behavior, manipulate what we do to make decisions, to make it harder for us to make the right decisions. Now, and you trying to live in this life without armor on? Man, we got to have something to work with. See, know that if you don't have armor on, you can't constructively, even in your, you can't begin to deal with the evil that you don't even know about. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober. Be of sober spirit. Don't be influenced by anything foreign. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour in this world. Yeah, you go to school, get your education, be smart, bright, and whatever you want to be. But if you're a child of God and walking around without armor, you are a target. And the sad part is we will not survive. Amen. Notice. And see, we won't survive, but more than that to me is we won't thrive. I when I'm counseling couples that's being married, I say, now, why are you getting married? Why are you getting married? Well, and you know they, we want to be happy together. We want to have, you get married because you want a fulfilling life. You know, you don't want to marry somebody going to drag you down. You're not getting married just say, we just want to make it, but Gary. You just want to make it. Well, you need to not get married. If you're getting married just to have a body in your house, save some time. Don't do that one. Man, why did you become a Christian? Why did you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I came that you might have. Notice this. I came that you might have life. He wasn't talking about necessarily eternal life, but he was. He says, and that you might have it more. I believe because I'm a Christian, I'm a better husband to KB. Excuse me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. With the older spot. Now notice this. Well, Gary, you don't know. My husband a Christian and he ain't treating me. I know. That's the sad truth, isn't it? It's the awful truth also. I didn't get to one passage that I wanted to, but it tells us to awaken. To awake. Yeah, I know because somebody here somewhere. I know he talking about the arm of God. I know Christians who just as bad, and you are right. Amen. I can tell you this. Amen. They don't have the armor that we're studying about. Amen. Notice this. And see, the armor that we're studying about, it'll help you to be able to deal with them. Because after all, the only person you can control. And so let's study this together. Lord, help us, Jesus. I know I need some more armor. Amen. I could be a better husband. Sometimes I ain't all I need to be. She's saying amen now. That's the time she's been. I want to say more. I know I'm getting old because I don't have enough time. I want to say more because we as the saints, see, we're the light. And we need more examples. We need more people to see. We need more young people to see that you can live a young Christian life. You can be a teenager who live by God's principles. And you might be an oddball to many, but you will know you're under God's protection and you can live right, you can do right, you can act right. Amen. And God gonna take care of you. It's the best life. And we need some of our young people. We need all of you to commit to say, you know what, I'm going to do this God's way, and you watch how God. You here today, you're not a Christian. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. If you're here today and you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess Christ. You need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins so you can be a part of the we. You can be a part of this discussion that we're having about these disciples that we put on this whole arm of God, and he gives us this abundant life. Not only when we get to heaven, but even while we own this earth, to be able to deal with people, to deal with the calamities of life better. If you need to come to Christ, come to Christ. If you need a church to pray for you, come right now as we sing the song of invitation.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.
He's
somebody's knocking at your door. Knocks like Jesus.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Knocks like Jesus.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.
He can save you.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
He can save you.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Sinner,
why don't you answer
somebody?